I'd like to call the Administrative Finance Committee meeting to order for January 10th. Today, I want to welcome everybody back from our break and a Happy New Year to you all as we begin with our new government and new administration. Welcome and Happy New Year to everybody here. I look forward to a great productive year with you all. I want to recognize the council members that are here. We have Councilmember Diller, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Sheldon, Councilmember Kirkpatrick, Council President Karen Hartley Nagel. I'm Councilman John Cartier. I am chairing the meeting, and my aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes. We'll move on to our revised agenda for today's meeting.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Distributing.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Are there any changes suggested for the minutes of the 12-13 meeting? All those in favor, signify
aye.
By saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. All right, the minutes of the 12-13 Administrative Finance Committee are approved. With that, I'd like to recognize Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to go out of order to allow UBS to give their presentation to council, please.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. So that way we'll clear the way, and our folks from UBS are here to talk about our county investments. And please identify yourself for the record before you begin your presentation.
Sure. This is Mark Shigowski with UBS.
Senior Institutional Consultant.
Thanks.
And before we begin, I'd like to also let you know that Councilman Woods cannot attend today for the Finance Committee meeting, so he's excused.
Stand over here.
You can either. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
No.
Councilman Smiley.
You put him where you want him, sir.
Do you want to sit at the end of the table? That's fine. Okay, get comfortable while we go through this.
So if you open the presentation, there's an agenda sheet behind the first page. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for having us in again. Sort of apologize to David Sears, who most of you saw with me the three other times we were here. His wife is going to have a baby probably today because she went into contractions last night, so he suggested he just stay home. Got the support of the people of the county, so thank you. This will be one of our regular meetings. This is the first meeting where we actually have all the contracts in. Everything's been approved. I don't know if you have time to go over the market overview or not. I should also inform you that David and I came down last week to sit with the new executive committee and council and prepared position books, so they knew what happened in the previous four meetings that we went through, how this came to be, and we went and prepared a copy also for the new president, so she has a copy also, so she has the legacy, so everybody I think is up to speed on what's going on.
Thank you.
Okay. Quick market overview. Do we have time for that today? I don't know how much time there is. I'm going to go into the portfolio. Okay, we'll go into the portfolio. Okay. So, when we first started, we said we'd come in once a quarter to present to the Finance Committee of the County Council so that we're up to speed on the monies that we're working with, which are the reserve and operating funds. And that this is the first real meeting we're going to start. The returns still reflect the movement from the master account that we were holding for almost 2 years into the individual manager, so we'll do a quick overview. The administration has access to the reports that are in here on a daily basis. I just sat with the new CFO and with Ken Porter, with Brian and Ken, going over the online system so they can get to the access. All the contracts and everything are held in that place in the accounting and finance area also. So what I want to point out is that all the contracts are completed. The consulting contract is between the county and UBS. All the individual managers' contracts are between the county and the individual managers, not through UBS. We're not sub-advising the direct contracts. It went through your legal department. And I think what's important is we made sure, and the county legal department also to put in there. Normally, it's asked for arbitration, or if there's any legal disputes, it's usually in the state where the investment advisor is. All the contracts read that they're going to be in federal district court in Wilmington if anything goes wrong. So it's to your benefit, not to the investment advisors or UBS, okay? Any questions? We have six total contracts. There's the UBS contract, Wilmington Trust, which we did not negotiate. That's a legacy contract. Then investment advisors, Logan Circle, Medancer, and Richmond Capital. So turn to, start right here on page 26 of the presentation. Let's go to 25 so you can take a look at the different companies, the different investment advisors that we currently have now working with the county. We have Dana Investment Advisors, Logan Circle, Ryan Labs, Richmond Capital, Wilmington Trust, and Medancer. Now the way they fit together in running the county's funds is on the next page, on page 26. The way we look at it, and we built this as one portfolio with six different managers so that they do not overlap each other, they actually complement each other. One of the major concerns is liquidity for the county. So we have one enhanced cash or one shorter term manager, that is Dana. Dana is limited volatility. The index they're against is Bank of America, 1 year treasury, so they're mostly treasuries. They're holding 17.5% of the assets, or about 24 million. We have two shorter term managers. One is Logan and Medancer. Their average maturity or duration is less than 2.5 years. And you can see Logan Circle is 14.25%, and Medancer is 15.2% of the portfolio. Then we have moderate duration, which are Wilmington, Ryan, and Richmond. They're about 3.5 years in terms of duration. So on average, the overall portfolio is a little over 2.8 years of duration. It represents about $137 million, almost $138 million, as of the beginning of this year, total assets on these portfolios. Now, if you remember, next on page 27, one of the questions came up whether the quality, credit quality of the portfolio was what it was supposed to be. Remember what we talked about was we emulated the state of Delaware's portfolio in terms of quality. The quality of the portfolio is listed here by manager. You can see there's no manager who has an average credit rating of less than an A+. So this is a better quality portfolio than we had received in almost 2.5 years ago. So the credit quality is there, but the returns should be quite similar. The duration on the portfolio is listed. Wilmington Trust has the longest duration at 3.75 years. And remember, maturity is slightly longer than that, but we get most of our money back within 3.75 years if the portfolio was held maturity. Dana's portfolio, as I said, is less than 1 year. It's 0.8%. Logan Circle is 2.4%. Medancer is 2.46%. Yeah. Medancer is at 2.46%. Ryan Labs is 3.87%. And Richmond is at 3.72%. Now what's important is the chart at the bottom of the page. It says sector exposure, so you can tell where the portfolio is currently being invested. If you look at Wilmington Trust, which is a moderate duration, which is a little over around 4 years, 42% of that portfolio is held in U.S. Treasuries, and 46% is in corporate bonds. What we paired them off against is Ryan Labs, which is four down from there. You can see the inverse. There's 61% treasuries and 27% corporates. That's our moderate duration. And we add into that Richmond Capital, where they're about 80% corporates. They're the ones that have the heaviest concentration in corporates. Dana, which is our shorter term manager, is mostly agencies. So they're mostly AAA rated US government agency paper. That gives us liquidity pretty much like a money market fund. So if we have to get to money real quickly in here, the county needs is to raise cash, Dana's holding about $24 million that we can turn to cash pretty quickly, but we're getting an enhanced yield over what a money market would yield for the county. So we're getting a better rate of return on it. And then you can see Medancer is 33% asset-backed securities, and and 30% corporates. They're a bigger blend with some taxable munis and some mortgage backs also. Any questions on that? A lot of information?
Just like to recognize that Councilman Winder has joined us at the table.
I'm going to ask one.
Councilman Smiley.
If I may, just so we're moving forward to the other here. On page 26, where we start. $137,714,433. Is that the total amount of funds starting with the investing?
No, that I can show you on a different page.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I know we lost money, but.
You didn't lose principal, you lost.
Yeah, earnings.
Earnings, not principal. So the principal has always been safe. It's the amount of earnings based on how the positions were held and how they were managed.
I just need to get that out of the way so I can focus on the rest of what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Good question. All right, so if we go to the next page 19, and then to page, I'm sorry, to page 29. I should point out, all the assets are held at UBS other than Wilmington Trust. Wilmington Trust is held at Wilmington. So on reporting, we're able to do the previous day's close performance. So when we walk in here, we can walk in with yesterday's earnings. Okay, so there's no lag. And the finance department can do the same thing. Wilmington may take a few days, but now we're working on a way to feed them in so we can also get them on a daily basis so you can see what's going on in the portfolio. One of the other things before we go through the actual portfolio and where it is and how it did is, if it's okay with the council, we've spoken about it, we want to bring in to every other meeting with us one of the portfolio managers to talk for 15 to 20 minutes, because we're hiring people just like you hired us to do the work. We want you to meet the people that are actually managing the funds. And over time, what we'll tend to do is bring in the manager who we think is not performing where they're supposed to, just like an employee, and have them sit here and say, here's where we are, here's how we get out of this problem, and they'll give us a roadmap. By the time we bring them in, they're in here already, we think there's a potential problem with them, and we want to see how they're going to work that problem out and see what the solution is, and we'll hold their feet to the fire at that point. So we'll go to council. So the next set of pages is going to be limited numbers right now. On page 29, and again, this is available online to the finance area, and Brian and Ken and I just went through the online system again. So this is the breakdown of the assets held at UBS. It does not include Wilmington in this report, so the performance is going to be a little different. On page 30, there's an actual breakdown of the asset allocation. Right now, we're sitting on about 7% cash, and that's because we just transferred the assets over to the managers pretty much January 1st, and they're positioning into the market as it goes up and down on the fixed income market. $85 million of about the $92 million sitting with UBS is in fixed income. You can see the breakdown is U.S. fixed income. Governments is $60 million of it, or 65% of it. Corporate investment grade credit is about 24%. These numbers will change over time.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. excuse me. The information you stated is online. Is this online just for county employees or for the public as well?
It's employees, for the accounting, for the finance. It's only for the finance staff. There's 5 passwords available, not for the public.
Is it available to county council?
Through the finance area, yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I allowed to speak?
Okay. Yes. Just identify yourself for the record.
Brian Maxwell, Acting Chief Financial Officer. We did have a discussion this morning about increasing the level of transparency around the states, the counties, so I'll say that.
It's okay.
But the county's portfolio, because I think it's important for not only you, but the citizens to see what our asset allocation is, also what the performance of the investments are. So we've had a discussion with there's a little bit of lag time as to when performance becomes available, because we're a new client. There's a little bit of lag time, and then it will be available for us, and then I will have an internal discussion and then present something to you guys as to what we'd like to put on the website and get your feedback, obviously.
I appreciate your response. Thank you.
And what we also shared in that meeting is best practices. We went over other municipalities and counties that we deal with, what they put up on their website, and I think that's what Brian and Ken and the whole team are working out, what should go up on the website. We'll feed from this data, but that's the end goal.
Before we continue, I'd like to recognize Councilman Bell's joined us as well. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. So on the next page, on page 31, are the returns, bottom left corner. Okay. So the question was, how much did we start with? If you look on the right, 3 years ago, 12/31/13, when we started keeping the performance records. And we have it when we originally got stuff in, but there were a lot of items in there that weren't marked from the previous custodian. We started out with $92,263,000. There was $3 million taken out of the account over time for various purposes. Investment return was $2.5 million. And we have $91,800,000, and this is through January 6th. The other report was from January 1st, okay, the original year first report. So you can see there's a slight difference in the numbers, but we did not lose money. Money was withdrawn to be used by the county.
Okay,
Councilor Smiley.
That's why I wanted to clear various circumstances, but it was the county that pulled.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, so this is, yeah.
That would have been the $3 million that we had come back. But I know I was of the impression that they had grabbed $3 million from somewhere else and put it in there, but apparently not.
Okay.
Does that answer?
Yeah. Council President.
Yes. Could you tell us, just clarify for me, because I wasn't here then, where that $3 million came from?
The council would know that.
The Garston Trust.
Payback for the Garston Trust.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And any of these. The rows on here we can expand out, so we can actually do, this is net deposits and withdrawals. We actually expand this report out and have deposits and withdrawals with dates on it, so we can have it immediately if you need it, but we just collapse it for executive summary purposes. So you can see the various periods. The last fiscal year we made 1.09%. Now one of the things I want to point out, and we had said this in all the previous meetings, we come into report going forward, we're not going to report against a benchmark like one index. We have a customized index that's going to be called the Newcastle County Index. So if you go back to page 26 and follow this, each one of the managers has their own benchmark to go against. So if you look at Wilmington, they're against the Barclays Intermediate Government Credit, which makes up 33% of the portfolio. Ryan Labs is on the same index. It's another 9.4. So if you add those two numbers, about 43% is going to be in that index. And 17.5% is going to be in the Bank of America 1 year, and so on. So we're going to have a weighted composite index for the county, so we have a real report card versus how these managers, they'll be against their own benchmark and a blended benchmark. So that's reflected on page 31. We started recording it. If you look on page 31, I'm sorry to type so little, but on the right-hand corner, right-hand bottom corner, it says portfolio returns and market indices. If you look underneath that column, it says your portfolio and then benchmark one. That is the Newcastle County index. And to back up the data, if you turn to page 54, it has the actual breakdown of the calculation. So anything we're going to give you, we're going to give you a way to foot what we're telling you. Okay? So I think that's one of the things we discussed that was important to us. And any time this benchmark changes, if we change, bless you, if we change the proportions to the managers, it will be reflected on this page, the date of the change, and what the benchmark weightings are, okay? So the next page, again, it does not have Wilmington in it, which is page 32. There's a quick overview of the bond portfolio, so the numbers are not gonna add up to the first page on here. But you can see, if you go to the left-hand side, it says bond overview, average modified duration, just on the portfolios that we're sitting on, right now is 2.04 years, and the maturity is 2.92 years, all right? And I'm gonna say this in every meeting going forward. If you look under credit quality of bond holdings, I said there's nothing that's gonna be below investment grade, which is BAA, BBB. A lot of those bonds are the ones that are legacy bonds that will be sold over the next few weeks or months as the managers get into position. But what I just wanna point out is G, where it says not rated, that would indicate that we have junk bonds in here. That's not the case. I mentioned this in the last meeting, that in 2008, when we had the financial crisis and the markets looked like they were gonna collapse at that point, we know for a fact that Ginnie Mae is a federal agency. So when you get a mortgage from Ginnie Mae, it's backed by the full faith and credit of the US government. There's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are enterprises of the US government. So the government doesn't have to back them. They tacitly back Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So if you remember, prior to 2008, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were publicly listed companies backed by the U.S. government. Anybody who owned common stock was wiped out. Anybody who owned preferred stock was wiped out. The government stepped in to bail out their bonds and the mortgage backs. So as a firm, we decided to carry them as not rated, even though they have the tacit understanding of the U.S. government. So that $3.619 million, if you look to the upper right-hand corner under assets and mortgages, that $3.619 million is under assets and mortgages. You subtract the 3.6 from the 5 million, and the rest of those are Ginnie Mae's. And I'll show you where those are in the portfolio. So we're going to carry them as not rated. We do view that the government has to bail them out, but they're truly not rated AAA by any agency. Okay? So that's just for visual, so we're all on the same page. Then you have a maturity schedule, and then here's one of the reports that the County Finance Department and the Council can get to. This is the actual holdings, which I don't think you ever saw since we've been doing what you have. The actual portfolio is in here with the credit ratings, with the gains and losses, with the modified durations, and with the percent of the bond portfolio. So you can see one of the type of reports we're looking at on a daily basis. Any questions? Or? The report.
Any questions, comments from members of council? Council Weiner, Council Member Kilpatrick, and I think County Auditor raised his hand as well. So,
What are the commission fees we're paying given the size of our portfolio? Of course, we recognize that there's commissions that are on the subsets as well as yours as well. This is information that's been provided us before. I just don't recall.
Let's go to page 26 and we'll memorialize it.
Okay.
So I can do it by manager. All the trades are traded flat. There are no fees on any of the bonds that are traded. Mm-hmm. This is a wrap, so they trade and they trade to narrow the spread, so there's no broker stepping in. Mm-hmm. The actual fees, and it's like any other business, the larger dollar amount, the less the fee. Mm-hmm. We have pretty big buying power, so we've knocked down the fees on the managers. Wilmington Trust is at 0.175, or it's called 17.5 basis points on $45 million. Ryan Labs, which is managing $12.9 million, is at 25 basis points.
What's that percentage wise?
0.25%.
Of course.
Okay, 25 basis points. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
It's okay. Dana Limited, and notice they have the shortest duration, so we got them down the lowest. They're at 0.15%. Logan Circle is at 0.20%, Merganser is at 0.22%, and Richmond Capital is at 0.25%. So on average, without Wilmington, we're at 0.20 or 20 basis points. With Wilmington, we're at 0.195%. Our fee is 0.10%, comparable to counties or municipalities this size at the lower end of the spectrum.
That was going to be my next question. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, the worst thing I could get is not why are we underperforming is why are we paying so much. That's hard to defend. Okay? Especially when
all right. I got hands flying up. I'm going to recognize Council Member Kilpatrick and the Auditor and the Acting GM of Finance.
Thank you. Mine is just basically a comment, and I want to thank you for the presentation and the professionalism, and I am just sorry that we did not have managers in place long before this because I'm extremely impressed with my minuscule knowledge of finance. I'm very impressed with the presentation and the job that you seem to be doing. Thank you.
County Auditor.
Yeah, for me, I'd also like to thank Mark and UBS for the presentation. It's a great way to start the new year. This is really what my office has been looking for, the openness and transparency to the taxpayers. And I know UBS has been anxiously waiting for 3.5 years to engage investment managers to actively manage this money, and my office is very pleased, as are others in this room, and we can begin earning the investment earnings for taxpayers that the taxpayers deserve now. So, happy New Year.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just want to comment that
identify yourself,
Brian Maxwell, Acting Chief Financial Officer. Mark mentioned his fee at 10 basis points. I just want to let you know that that includes the custodial services as well. So he's not only providing investment oversight of the managers, but also the custodial services. So if you were to go out there and compare, I just want to make sure everybody know it's really two different services that are being provided under that one bid. So.
Thank you. I just had a question.
and just want to reflect that I'm also pleased to see, you know, these funds being invested for returns that we need to, we should have been receiving for quite some time now. But the question I have is the investment style. Is it very typical to put the bulk of the financial assets in fixed income, corporate bonds, and you know, government bonds? Is there any need or style of managing these funds, or could see investment in common stocks or preferred stocks, or?
You want me to take
that? I can Brian Maxwell, acting yes. Chief Financial. So the objectives of when I was cash and debt manager for the state is preservation of principal. It's not so much, there's no free lunch here. So
right.
The more you risk you're willing to take on, the higher the return, but you also have to be willing to risk principal. So more of it, our strategy is preservation of principal within the risk guidelines that the investment guidelines that the managers would be following.
Is there any risk to principal in investing in the bond market?
If there's a downgrade, if it were to fall out of rating, if you would get a downgrade, then the price on that bond to actually liquidate it, you could lose principal as a result of that.
Right. So it is on the side of, you know, maximum safety for the principal invested.
That's correct.
So I'll echo what Brian just said. I remember I started on the governmental side. There's something called the prudent person rule. This is money that's not to be minimize the risk that's taking on it, and it's money that can't be replaced. It's kind of, if you're going to go into retirement, you go into a mode that you can't replace the principal that you have there, so let's protect it as much as we can. So this is structured in such a way that, yes, at times, as interest rates rise, if they rise real quickly, we may have a market loss in the portfolio, but we're still going to get the same stream of income. I've been at this for 36 years. If this was 20 years ago and I was sitting with a municipality, a state, a county, and I was earning 8% or 5% on short-term cash, this would be a profit center. But what happened after 2008, and I'm going to go through economics a little bit, the reality of what we've all had to go through is not reaching for risk because the return isn't there. This was a profit center for the county, looking back at the numbers historically that we put together. And when the rates got down to 2%, 1%, that area, people start reaching for risk, just like individuals went into stocks for dividends. But if you hold a bond to maturity, it doesn't default, you're going to get your principal back. This is money to build out things in reserve. We don't want to take that kind of risk. And the economics of what's occurred in the psychology is when 2008 happened and rates came down, people that had saved money or counties that were fiscally responsible, like this county, basically were paying to bail out the banks and companies and other municipalities that weren't so diligent in watching over their cash management.
Orange County.
Well, yeah, okay, additional risk was taken. So by rates coming down real quickly, the banks would be able to restructure their balance sheets. If you think about it, the county was able to float bonds that were at a lesser rate, right? Mm-hmm. So the cash flow went up ostensibly. But the risk is, by not earning as much as we used to on what was a profit center, reaching for the risk on the other side. That's really the danger, and it's really either cut expenses to match the amount of your earning or figure out a way to work with the money that you have. So does that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay. That's the way we look at it. Part of our job is psychology. You have to hold this until rates start moving up.
Okay. Councilman Sheldon.
So the balance is 100% in fixed income bonds and so forth.
That's correct.
There's not a 20-80 or nothing like that.
No, it's 100%. Actually, if you go to page 27, your question is to the risk in the portfolio. I think the interesting part is, if you look on page 27 at the bottom, where it gives the sector exposure, it shows 24.9% in U.S. Treasuries, and then you have another 21.6% that are in agencies, so that's 35. It's about 36% in government paper. 36% of this portfolio would go away only if the U.S. government was to fail. Okay, so that's the bulk of the portfolio. And then you can say the same thing about the asset backs and the mortgage backs. So you're about 40% plus that is tied to the U.S. government and its credit rating.
And another one, when you say the 130, you have asset allocation, 137,714, that's the total of the entire county. That's the general fund, sewer fund, What does that money come from?
It's just the operating and reserve funds. That's it. The general pool is much larger than this.
Then larger than the 137?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
That's a million.
A million, is it? Yeah, excuse me. That's another.
Councilman Smiley.
Okay, one question and then a comment for the past. I don't understand what you said. UBS chose the managers, but the contract is between the managers and Newcastle County.
Correct.
So you're overseeing them, but the county actually holds the authority to pull the plug on a manager if we feel it, if they feel, we feel, whatever, are underperforming or whatever, with consultation with you. So
yeah,
you basically recommended those managers.
We worked through more than one manager in each slot. This was a long process where the managers go through the due diligence. We have a whole file built on it, talking to the managers. Previous administration talked to a bunch of the managers prior to them being retained. And the contracts are structured in such a way that it's basically, when you're not happy or we're not happy with the manager, we can let them go today, and it's pro rata to that date. Our contract structured the same way. We're your employee, but you can let us go with a day's notice. Okay? This is money, and you don't want somebody overseeing your money if they're upset with you.
Oh, no.
Okay?
I like having the hammer.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to say, just to kind of clear the air and start the new year, needless to say, I'm sure you're aware, the three letters UBS taking a lot of hits over the last couple of years. I've given enough of my own, to be very honest with you. But understand, just so you have a clear focus going forward, the issues that council members and others have had with quote-unquote UBS was not the UBS company, but rather the way it started, the way we ended up with your company, without council involvement, without council input, without notification, with movement of funds, without council being involved. So it was more the process and procedures, not formulated or caused by you, but which brought you into this chamber here today. So,
correct. And that's why I
cleared that. So
yeah.
Very glad to see this, see your willingness to come in. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a fresh start moving forward.
And I appreciate it. Let me go through two things. If you remember the way we started, the original people that introduced UBS to the county brought me in. I'm one of 28 senior consultants. There's 100 consultants within UBS, 7,000 financial advisors. I'm one of two groups that's allowed to work with municipal, state, county level municipalities. We were in conversations with the legal counsel for about 4 months before I even accepted to come in to do this, and even with Bob Wasserbeck, I guess, a couple conversations. The other thing to keep in mind is UBS, while it's an international firm, UBS North and South America are not under the international umbrella. We are a subsidiary of UBS. If you remember from years ago, there was a firm called Kidder Peabody and there was a firm called Payne Weber. Both those firms were rolled up into UBS over the years. So the licenses that we still are domiciled in the United States is under the Payne Weber license. So we're regulated not only by the New York Stock Exchange, the SEC, all different levels of federal government. So every kind of regulation you can imagine, and these reports have to be cleared, compliance have to be cleared. So I assure you, this is all the way you want it to be.
Appreciate it.
And I did share, I think, with the council, our client list, my personal client list, of about 35 different accounts. You're welcome to talk to any one of those accounts. I'm going to cherry pick, you can talk to them. I've been here this for a long time. I appreciate what you said, thank you.
Any other questions, comments from members of council on our UBS investment portfolio of all the county funds are now being invested? Any questions, comments from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And we're going
to
go back.
To return to regular order of business.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All those opposed.
Come in. There'll be pictures of David's baby. I'm sure he's going to show us that.
Okay, great.
Happy
New Year to you.
Okay, thank you. Happy New Year.
With that, we are returning to the regular order of business. We have nothing under resolutions on the agenda. Moving on to ordinances on the agenda. Ordinance 16-139 to provide for the installation of traditionary street lights in the Jillian's Way subdivision located in Newcastle. 100 and for a light tax based on the cost of street lights. Councilman Bell.
As per title, Mr.
More lights. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
They're the traditionary. we're all familiar with.
Beautiful. All right, moving along to ordinance 16-140 to provide for the installation of Granville street lights in the West Hampton subdivision located in Mill Creek 100 and for a light tax based on the cost of street lights. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Per title.
All right, thank you. Moving along, ordinance 16-142, amend the grants budget, realign $205,572.16 in federal funds and $75,000 in program income within the FY2016 Community Development Block Grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. Which Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. We do have Kara Casey, one of our managers in Community Services, and we use the term realign. Why do we say realign as opposed to appropriate?
Kara Casey with New Castle County Department of Community Services. The reason that it's semantics, HUD has changed the way that they account for their funding. We now have to realign previous year's funding into the future fiscal year, the fiscal year that we're in. Mm-hmm. So we're realigning fiscal year 15 funds into fiscal year 16. We used to call it carry forward,
right.
Recall. Now, because we have to account for all the different pots of money that we get from HUD, instead of just using old money and bringing it forward, we call it a realignment. And I didn't lay to script if she wants to add anything.
All right. And when we originally got the money, I mean Latham, Department of Finance Officer for Community Services, when we received the money in fiscal year 16, we appropriated it.
Right.
And so this is the money that's left over. We spent most of it, but now we're in fiscal year 17, so now we're just moving the money around so we can spend it in fiscal year 17.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I had a follow-on question. Program income, what program is that from?
The CDBG funds come from the loans that we have, the down payment settlement loans, and we have loans that we have out. Low-income families, they're required to make some payments, so that's where the money comes from.
All right, thank you. Council Member Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment on how exciting we are to bring your grandson to work. So we're double exciting, is that it?
Couldn't sleep. That's the way it should be. Okay. Moving along, any other questions on ordinance 16-142? Moving along, ordinance 16-143. To amend the Newcastle County Code, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 5, Departments and Offices, Division 2.05.500, Department of Administration, to create a County Investment Advisory Board. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I want to have just a little bit of discussion on this. I've talked to the administration, and they have asked that we table this. They have some concerns about the makeup of the board and at this point are looking at having it to be a larger board than what it is and would like to have a little bit of time to go back and look at the state board and at our pension board and what the difference in duties may or may not be to see if the size of the board is adequate. But if you remember back several months, we passed this, I'm thinking unanimously, I think it maybe was like 11 and two people not there, but I haven't specifically checked on this, and then it was vetoed and there was not a veto override. So at this point, I'm assuming that I will table it tonight. Mm-hmm. What I've said, Brian Boyle and I had a conversation about this morning, and basically what I said to him is that if we feel that it's important, which I think we do since we've passed it once before, and if they feel that it's important, I have no problem tabling it, but I don't want it to linger for months right. And months and months. I want it to be a fairly expeditious change, if there is a change, or be okay to go ahead with the way it is.
Councilman Smiley.
Just for policy procedure, and to try to have a nice council meeting, if you would be kind enough to have it read into the record.
Yes.
Then make a motion to table, and I would second that, and we can.
And I will two-step it.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Just in the nature of being gracious today.
I'm glad you clarified today.
You know, I don't want to.
All right. Any other questions, comments concerning ordinance 16-143? And we understand it will be tabled by the sponsor with the Senate Council pending review by the new administration, which I think is a fair request.
Well, I do too.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Ordinance 16-144.
That was part of this.
Okay. To amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 2, Administration, Article 5, Departments and Offices, Division 2.05.500, Department of Administration, Section 2.05.503, Office of Finance, to clarify county investment law. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Okay, basically I had both of these together as I was talking about tabling. This one basically defines how temporary investments should be run. I mean, as we saw from UBS, that the protocols didn't work well when it was a four-year temporary investment. So just letting, again, the administration go through this and feel comfortable, and, you know, I'm comfortable with Brian Maxwell's expertise in this area and being able to look at other governments and, again, come up with something fairly expeditiously, not super rush, but let's not go out 6 months.
I'll offer to second that for you if you'd like. You're going to go through the same process?
I will go through the same process on both of them, yes.
Okay. Any questions on Ordinance 16-144? Okay, any comments? All right, moving along. Under other part of the agenda, discussion of the port funding provided by Ordinance 15-103.
That's me.
Okay.
I requested that.
Councilman Smiley.
Following up on a brief meeting that Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Maybe you want to recap for
time
everybody.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick attended with me at my request. Council did a piece of legislation that authorized the expenditure of $150,000. I'll read the title. It's 15-103. Amend the FY 2016 approved operating budget, appropriate $150,000 from the general fund tax stabilization reserves to the Office of Economic Development to fund an environmental study. With that, I feel obligated for myself to apologize to this council and the people of Newcastle County. And if you go back and listen to the tape, I think you'll see where I and others in council were heading with this. We looked at an environmental study as being what's in the ground. What's in the ground? Is it toxic? Does it have to be reclamated? Can you go right in and build? We knew all of the other, I think all of us on council knew, as far as the port study and as far as the port went, that Army Corps of Engineers would be involved, there was dredging that would need to be done, a whole gist of other things. But we were looking at the ground. Lesson learned in this, the company by the name of Paul F. Richardson Associates Incorporated, PFRA, that got the job, looked at it far differently. And I have to acknowledge up front, to be fair to them, the scope of work that was presented for them to do when the contract was entered, they more than fulfilled that scope of work. But that scope of work involved the business environment, the investment environment, right? Basically everything other than what we anticipated it would be. But they did perform in compliance with the contract that was signed and brought forward. I'm not going to pass judgment on the state, but I'm going to say that I give them credit. At least the study that they did produce was adopted by the state and put in as a part of their broad port oversight study that now encompasses three possible locations. I say all this and I ask to be put on the agenda merely to get to the point to where, for me, I would hope the rest of council and those that come after us, lesson learned. We venture into an area that's different than our everyday contracts or maintenance and everything else. I think in the future, as tough as it may be on finance and law, we need to see the intended scope of work that's going to be put out for bid before we allocate funds, so we can better scrutinize it and make sure that council is getting what we want to see. If nothing else, if that scope has to be expanded to include it. So that's why I asked for this. For me, to kind of put this issue to rest for now, hopefully for good, to explain what happened, why we never saw what I know I was looking for. Because as I said in the meeting, I envision an environmental study being the dirt. You dig down, having come from the Port of Wilmington, been there, seen it expand, know that most of the Port of Wilmington is built on a waste site. And having seen it sink in spots, come up in spots, that before you would even consider seeking investors or anything else, you would make sure, just as in a marriage, you're building it on solid ground. All right. But again, they did meet what they were tasked to do. I have to acknowledge that. I acknowledge that their study is now part of the state's. So there's something to be said for that. But it still didn't answer what I think the rest of us wanted to see. At present, of $150,000, $84,000 has been spent. But invoices for November and December are yet to come in and be paid. So exactly how much we would have spent, I don't know. So that was it. I didn't invite anyone else to come in. I think we've had it ad nauseum. There's nothing else anyone could add. So basically, this is my come upons for what was done. And I think, again, unfortunately, it's an expensive lesson, but it is a lesson learned.
Councilman Hollins.
No, I would agree with Councilman Smalley. I think that it was well-intentioned what Council did. I think the discussion around this table was very clear. When you look at the fiscal note on the ordinance, it says environmental site assessment. Environmental site assessment. Site, I think to most reasonable people, means just what it says. So all the other kinds of things that happened, maybe they needed to happen. But it was not what was presented to us, and it's not what we intended to fund. So I think that we were taking advantage of the expenditure of these funds, and we have to be careful in the future. But I don't appreciate it, because it was very clear what the request was, and very clear what our concern was, and very clear what we allocated the funds for. So to say now that the funds were used to do some other kinds of economic studies or look for investors, that's not what this money was intended for. That does not in any way meet environmental site assessment.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Tackett's joined us. Councilman Weiner, have your hand raised.
I concur with the remarks made by both of my fellow council persons and ask the finance department if it could provide some assurances going forward that a standard practice be employed to always provide council with the scope of services when presenting a contract.
Council President?
Yes, I wanted to find out, I understood that they were going to come in and give us a presentation. Will we be getting a presentation of the study that they did?
That can still be scheduled. I'll tell you, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's part of the state. I mean, there's...
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. A little bit, I think, of why we got into this is I had gotten some calls from people named on the task order, and what they were saying to me was, look, we weren't hired to do this. And when they gave a presentation at a meeting on the state level, they presented a study that had been done years and years ago. So they said, we just want you to know that there is no new study. If you are presented this an environmental study. That's from a long time ago. If you would like, I have a copy of the professional service agreement, which it was called, to hire a consultant, which was Richardson. And it has on it, the document attached to it is the task order. If it would help anybody in the future to attach this to the minutes of this meeting, I'm more than willing to have Anthony make a copy and give it to Brian.
Okay, we'll do that. Council President.
Yeah, I just want to ask Mr. Smiley one other question. Am I clear that we've paid for the study, however, we don't have anything to review? That's the part I'd be interested in. I'm not so concerned about the scope, if they went outside the scope, but I'd be interested in reading any study that they did, because we will be dealing with more with the port and Edgemoor and other areas. Well, and
I agree. I don't know that we will be, but we can ask what the executive branch has. What they have, they submitted to the state, and basically, quite honestly, we spend money for them to say, would you be willing to invest? Would you be willing to invest?
That's
would you be willing
is.
To invest?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to invest? Basically, it was business inquiries. So I don't know that there's anything there. What they submitted to the state
were not
was all old
anything.
Documents.
No.
So
no.
There was no,
okay.
no actual
Council Member Kilpatrick.
Right.
I mean, basically, as he said, this was a firm that went out to try and find investors. Now, it's my understanding that this, even the investors that they found, are not for River Edge, because the state has chosen Edgemoor, and the union, the ILA representatives were in this meeting with us, and they said that they are now investing in the Edgemoor site. So whatever we paid for River Edge, we don't know that they use this land as spoils for dredging. We don't know what's under there. We don't know if it could sustain a container port even being on the land, the physical land, even if you had every investor in the world that was ready to fund it, and it is one of the more expensive sites. So as far as I can see at this moment, between the state and the ILA, they have all moved over and are focusing on Edgemoor. And basically, we just took $150,000 and threw it away for that site.
Council President.
Just one last question on this. Any investor that would come in, I can't imagine that they're going to invest without some kind of a study that they can read. So do they not have, you know, anything?
My understanding from the consultant,
Council Member Kilpatrick.
I'm sorry. My understanding from the consultants that originally called me was that there was an old study being used, but the state, and Brian might know more than I do on this, but the state was more focusing on other areas. We were focusing on River Edge. So if the investors now are moving over to River Edge, obviously this wasn't just, or they're moving over to Edgemoor, this wasn't then just for River Edge, but the study and anything they have and all of the investors at this point are moving over to Edgemoor.
Right.
Council President and Councilman Smiley.
Just following up on what Councilwoman Kilpatrick is saying, so it's my understanding, so the investors then for Edgemoor don't have that information either. You know, again, I just find it curious.
We didn't
nobody has
Edgemoor.
Information.
No, we didn't include Edgemoor. We only did River Edge.
Okay.
Only.
Okay.
So whatever, as the state moved on,
understand what you're saying.
Right, but as the state moved on and looked at all three or four areas, yes, they have what they need for Edgemoor to continue on, because that's the site that they chose. We were never involved in that. We were only involved in the trying to get River Edge as the port. So.
Councilman Smiley and Councilman Holland.
And when I graciously say that the state has adopted portions of their study, what they have is what the state always knew. And quite honestly, because part of their study, and this was partnered with the city, was, well, we're going to need Denrec approval, we're going to need this approval, we're going to need that approval, which, and the time frames are different, and they're this, which, as I said in that meeting, I stood up in the first meeting I went to and said, what you're saying is it can't happen. It can't happen in that time frame.
you've got to get this, you've got to get this, you've got to get this. And I, within 2 days of when I left that meeting, as I said to him, I was anti-business, I was anti-labor, I was anti-port, I was anti-everything except the death penalty for myself. But I still stand by it because the port has yet to materialize. And in that meeting, he had them believing he could have a port up and running down there in 18 months. And there was no way it was going down. So the study that, whatever they call study, which we have not gotten, is nothing but regurgitated facts that were there for years and processes and procedures that the state had been following every time they needed to expand. So, quite honestly, as far as I'm concerned, they got paid.
Councilman Hollins.
Yep. Well, first of all, this was not a county project to begin with. You know, we have no jurisdiction, it's not our port, or any of that. The request to us was to try to incentivize investment over at River Edge to make certain that that was a legitimate option. So the $150,000 for the site assessment was just that. Whatever contracts exist, there's no contracts with Newcastle County and with any of these other agencies whatsoever. So we don't have a right to anything. It may be a courtesy if you request it, but it's not something that we engaged in terms of a contract or we have some legal authority here. We don't have that at all. We just had a resolution here that what you see is what we have. $150,000 for site assessment. That $150,000, most of it was used for something other than what the resolution says.
Okay, Councilman Smiley, what would close
I just thought it was time to open the windows and let the fresh air in and the stale air out and clear this up.
And we thank you for your diligence in that, in this matter. Is it expected, I guess the question is this, final question. Are we expected to expend all these funds for something that's really not useful to anything?
I just know Brian Maxwell, acting chief financial officer. I'm aware that there are some invoices that will come for November and December. As to what those amounts are, I'm not sure at this time to give you an answer as to what that would be. But I know this is a topic that's gotten a lot of discussion today, and I'd be more than happy to report back through the appropriate channels to give an update once the contract is closed and funds are.
As far as I know, they got November, December. As far as I know, they're not doing any work in January, at least. I know we left them in the impression nothing for them to do in January. So,
Councilman Hollins, would you want a final comment? Oh, okay.
Rest my case.
I hope we can conserve some of it. That's just all I'm saying, of that appropriation.
I just have a question.
Councilmember Diller.
Okay, so they've submitted what passes as work to the state of Delaware. Right?
Supposedly.
So they have submitted this information. As far as I'm concerned, why are we paying them any more money?
That's a good question.
Why would we do that?
Because we have a contract.
Yes, I know. But if they've completed the contract under the budget, or what passes for completion, I would say it ends here.
Well, Councilman Smiley.
And that's what I was trying to say. They have November and December invoices to submit.
Because they were still working in
those
months under this contract.
Months under that contract.
They just hadn't invoiced for it yet.
So.
It's like paying for a building and you don't like the building. It's not the design. Why would you pay for it at all?
Exactly.
But we never, but the contract that they signed, they did what they were contracted to do.
It's not what we wanted.
They just misused our funds.
But we allocated $150,000 to what we thought was an environmental study. When the contract went out, it was not for an environmental study. It was for a consultant, basically, to find investors. And they found some investors. They're not our investors. And in the end, I don't know that we really care what those investors do, because a port is not a county issue. But they still were working in those last 2 months under the contract that was signed by the
In other words, if I give you my credit card to go to the mall to get a shirt, and you come back with soup,
You should be happy.
You went to the mall.
Exactly.
You got to pay for it anyway.
But if you contract, I mean, there's something with a signed contract
right.
that we are still paying them for the work that they did under a legitimate contract. Not legitimate
right.
to us, but legitimate to what they signed. They signed nothing with us, but they did do the work for which they were hired.
That's Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilmember Diller.
Again, lesson learned.
Shame on us.
Exactly.
Request scope of contract.
Well, and maybe we have to think about that.
Next time. Yeah.
Okay.
For anything that we put
I would like to move along. I think we've aired this topic out and brought a lot of fresh air in and saw some things we're not too happy with. Okay, so moving on to the other part of the agenda for council grants. Moving on to council grants, we have a grant, several of them today, grant application for AIDS Delaware under Councilman Street's sponsorship. He is not here. Is someone going to floor manage that? Is the AIDS, Charnice here? All right. Councilman Smiley is offering to floor manage.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
planning,
you.
Planning has begun for their 16th annual Do the Right Thing for Life banquet, and their focus has been among the color of women. The year's banquet will be different. They're calling for a call to action to help battle and provide increase the awareness of HIV, AIDS, and STDs within the African-American community. And I know that Councilman Street has supported this previously.
You have a motion.
So make a motion for, make sure I think without, well, I don't know, see. I make a motion for $1,000.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant for AIDS Delaware is approved for Councilman Street. Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Next grant under my sponsorship, Arden Club Incorporated. The Arden Club is a nonprofit that does cultural activities and for the Arden's community. That's Arden, Arden Town, Arden Croft. And I've over the years supported their community library, and this is a request for funding for windows for that community library. And it's really, over the years, we've made a lot of investments in it. It's really wonderful, and the community really is serviced well by this. And I'm going to make a motion for $2,300 for the Arden Club for their community library improvement. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, the grant for the Arden Club for the community library is approved. Urban Youth Golf Program Association, the First Tee of Delaware. It's under Councilman Wood's sponsorship. I've offered to handle it since he cannot be here at this meeting. As council members know, this was a favorite kind of grant activity for Joe Retta. I'm really pleased to see Councilman Woods following this great tradition of backing the Urban Youth Golf Program, which I think does a great service for area youth in his district. And this this will help invest in cost of life skills education for people, youth in the program. So I'd like to make a motion for $2,500 to go to the Urban Youth Golf Program Association.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
That's a great activity. See that continue on with its relationship to County Council. Nemours Fund for Children's Health, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. This is a prom for kids that may or may not be around a year later for another prom. It was very emotional when I went, and I was there with Joe Retta and his office. It happens to be in my district, but obviously this prom serves children with illnesses throughout the county and the state. So it would be for decoration supplies, photo booth rentals, DJ gift bags, t-shirts. The excitement on these kids' faces when they come up in these volunteered fancy cars. Everyone volunteers to do their hair up. They ride around town before they ride up to the prom. It's really exciting. So I had sponsored 7,500 $750 last year, and Joe Retta had matched it with $750.
And I have the proxy for Councilman Woods.
Yes, and I want to thank Councilman Woods, who's not here, for that, but offer the opportunity to all of you if you can contribute a few hundred dollars. Last year, we got it up to $1,700.
Council Woods has offered $750.
I'll do $500.
Council Member Kilpatrick, $500. So what are we up to now? Council Member Diller?
$200.
$2,200. What's your total
then? All right, any other council members would like to contribute?
$1,450 minus Councilman Warner.
All right.
I'm in for
Councilman
$500.
$500, all right.
Wait. That may be over.
That's over.
Can't. Yeah, it's too much.
Well, I didn't hear what Councilman Warner was giving.
$750, same as last year.
Yep.
Okay, so whatever difference you need to make up to get
$300.
Yeah. Just $300.
$2,500 was asked for.
So $300.
So $300 for that.
So I'm in for $300.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We have gone to the maximum of the request. We're confirming the number. Woods is for $750.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We're good. So we have achieved the $2,500 as a request between all the council members.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make an amended motion for $2,500 for the Nemours prom this year.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Council rose to the challenge. $2,500 going to the Nemours Fund for Children's Health for their prom.
Thank you all, and I invite you all to join us for the prom.
Okay, last.
Chair, I'll make sure that the date comes out ample time for everybody. It is an awesome event. I'm sorry, Christy Roberts, legislative aide to Councilman Wood.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, last grant, Rose Hill Gardens Civic Association, Councilman Street. Sharnice or Councilman Smiley? All right, Councilman Smiley's
going in. It's not a new community group, but it is a first time application for Councilman Street, and the purpose is for them to. Their annual to support their cleanup day and historical dedication, and they're going to be providing programs, events, and activities to help support the growth in their community, the revitalization in this area.
Very good. Want to make a motion?
So I make a motion for $1,000 for Rose Hill Garden Civic Association from Councilman Street's funds.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, the grant is approved through the Rose Hill Community Association. All right. We are completed with the grant request. Moving on to expense and revenue roundtable. Does any member of council have a comment for expense and revenue roundtable? Request, comment? Councilman Smiley.
Yes, if I may. Just to remind everyone that we will be meeting at 12:30 on the 24th. That's when finance will meeting to have discussion on council's budget and the other budget, which is part of the council's budget for FY18.
So okay.
A little reminder there.
Thank you.
It is on the meeting agenda listing of
all
the
right.
Time.
Anything under other, on the other part of the agenda? Anything for the public comment? Motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
George.
The Finance Committee meeting of January 10th.
We're the one who's calling.